Hi, everyone. Today's podcast is about career decisions, education decisions, and career path, right? So I try to think about my audience. Who am I talking to? What do I want to say? Most of my podcasting has been about experiences and technology and the betterment of people and systems. I want to kind of go back to, you know, my upbringing and talk a little bit about what sort of drives and creates the motivation and desire to make choices, certain choices. I'm not talking about peer pressure influence decisions, you know, where you're in a group of friends or a clique of young teenagers or elementary school students or high school students or college students, and you get together and you decide to go do something that is either within the confines of the law or against the law. And I'm not talking about going in front of a panel of people who, or board of directors who decide your proposal and help guide your decision-making in the selection of your college education. I'm talking about what are those things that sort of shape your life and get you to go into a certain direction. Usually when we're younger, as far as career goes, for me personally, I didn't sit around and think about all the many things I was going to be when I grew up. I thought about options and things like I'm going to be a mom. I'm going to get married. I'm going to be a nurse. I'm going to work on computers. I'm going to be an anesthesiologist. I'm going to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. You know, I go down the list of the many, many things. And growing up, I found out, you know, I performed a lot of those tasks and responsibilities. And people do. You do perform those tasks and responsibilities as more than just a mom, but a dad and a friend. You know, sometimes you have to nurse your friends back to health. Little wounds and injuries, emotional or physical. Sometimes you got to put band-aids on your own self, fall off a bicycle. So there's the nursing. And there's also the mom. You know, my family bought me some dolls when I was little, and I was really great at diapering them and treating them like they were actual babies with names and ate, and I changed their clothing and took them everywhere I went and loved them. And I learned parenting skills that way at an early age. And, you know, the whole wedding idea is playful as a child. And traditionally, that's how Americans worked, is that the man of the house worked and provided for the woman of the house, the wife, the mother. And then for some reason, economics got in the way, and it became too expensive to work that way. Both families worked, and women's liberation also came along, where women actually wanted to work outside the home. And it's interesting, you know, that's, you know, sort of the childlike mindset that I had. But I was always a child worker. You know, I worked in my mom's kitchen, did the dishes. I had chores that I was paid for to do. I had babysitting jobs. I had jobs selling my mom's creations, you know, butterflies, magnets, school candy bars, gift wrapping, all sorts of neat things to sell out of magazines to benefit the schools and even our home business. So being an employee early sort of makes you, you get to experience those kind of things, and you go and you learn the value of the dollar. So that shapes your thinking as well. Selling, you know, door to door and going in front of supermarkets and places to sell items is much different than a call center sales agent or an adult sales agent with long-term contracts. So there's different various levels of sales. And, you know, sales is good. Everybody should have a sales level experience. But, you know, going beyond from that, that's a routine job. And I got tired of routine jobs. You know, working as a teenager, I worked as a waitress. I always helped in the restaurants, you know, clear the tables, bus out, you know, the food, greet the customers. I played cash register games when I was little and handled money when I was young. But one of my first real jobs wasn't, my first job actually as a W-2 employee, tax, you know, paying taxes to the IRS as a teenager was for Kmart, which is a department store, as a Kmart associate. So, you know, cleaning shelves and closets and lining things up and restocking. And I did that as a kid, right? You know, I neatly put my clothing away, and when new clothing would come in, I'd sort through the old stuff, you know, recycle it, sell it, or, you know, just organize it. So our jobs as kids translate into jobs as adults. And it's tough to work for other people, especially when other people have different ideas and put different demands on you and want different things from you, especially if they're profiting from you, you know, or then they try to control what you do. And it's fun to go to their jobs every now and then and get a different perspective of what they do and how they work on the job. But what really drives your decision making? For me, it was really convenience. How can I get there without burdening other people? Right? Like, I lived with more than just my mom and my dad. I lived with different family members throughout the course of my life. So how do I do this without burdening my mom, my dad, my aunts, my uncles, and the people that I live with to get there on time and to be responsible to earn a paycheck? So those job opportunities were like, well, what's in walking distance? You know, and once you do have money-making potential and you can prove that you can work, and get a vehicle, you know, how can you drive there and learn responsible, or, you know, you have a license and you can drive there. So my second job was working for the Army Corps of Engineers, but that too had stipulations attached to it that you can have this job as long as you go to school full time. And the school, you know, is an hour away. So that's a heavy responsibility. So sometimes our decisions sound good at the time, and the people that put these ideas and programs together sound really good at the time. But in reality, you know, did they do that themselves? Did they actually drive 3 times a week and attend college and go to work 30 hours a week at a location and be paid a certain amount of money and then pay a person rent and live by themselves with car potential for car trouble and other issues? Yeah. So, you know, taking the job is real easy, and we want to get there on time, and we want to be good, and we want to do the right thing, and we want to grow as an employee. But some people, or for me personally, I knew I wasn't going to be staying in my small town that I grew up in. And it wasn't because I was going to the city regularly to attend college. It was just that my experience was way different than, you know, the perfect child growing up in a perfect family in a perfect home who is set to marry a wealthy professional that's going to take care of her. Those opportunities were available and presented, but that was not what I wanted. I was an independent woman, you know. I couldn't I could have been a nice mom that was a stay-at-home business owner, but you can only I could only deal with so much in terms of personal relationships, and managing all of that is tough, and that sort of drives our decisions on where we live, our happiness, how we do on the job, if we want to stay on the job. So my first job with the Army Corps of Engineers was really fun because it was out at the lake. I got to go out with the boss on the jet skis, on the boat. The park ranger job opportunity sounded really nice. Got to count the money, got to work on computers, got to see, the water operations for the dam, which is really fun in the administrative office. And it's beautiful, right? You're in a beautiful location. And really, who could ask for anything more, right? Well, when you're going to college, there's always something more. You can either grow within that company that you work for or look forward to another opportunity. But honestly, driving 45 minutes, an hour, to college on a 4-year plan, or even a 2-year plan, is too much to ask for, especially in inclement weather, and especially if you can't really afford to pay basic rent costs and maintain a vehicle. If it barely covers your needs, then something's not right. The expectation is too high, or they're trying to seek a punishment and a failure model of training you to be successful. And that's not how the Army works. Yeah, that's not even how Kmart works. That's not how anybody should work. That's a wrong approach. And I don't think that's honestly how they worked, but I don't know that the program was designed correctly to really honestly support underprivileged kids who have to get grants for college and then want to work, and then that stipulation is built around their success at school and ability to go to work. Eventually, people throw their hands in the air and say, "I don't want to work for you anymore. I don't think you really understand what it's like to have to drive that far, do this homework, deal with these people, go to work and deal with you." And everything that surrounds that, along with the fact that I was an underprivileged child, where I didn't have everything handed to me. I had to work for what I earned. And that included dodging bullets, listening to police scanners in the evenings, tracking the county's most wanted crime rates, looking at crime within the school district, dealing with a lot of deaths in the school district, trying to manage through all of that. And it's not, a county dysfunction. It might be. It's more of, and you can't say this is the kind of life that affects every student at an education system. On some levels, it was an individual experience. On other levels, comparing the child who grows up on welfare or is forced to live off of welfare for a period of time because maybe their parents separated in a divorce where, the mom wasn't able to constantly work. Because, we females have organs that allow us to get pregnant, and that puts us out of the office for a little while, out of the workplace for a little while. And men don't have that. They don't have to worry about that. They can be workhorses, in fact, and work 18-hour days. And many of them do to support their wives and families. But what I found growing up is that many of them abused. They abused their wives and drugs and alcohol. And it wasn't because I had an eye for this stuff and was attracted to this behavior. It was just that I could see it, and I could see it really early on in families and people. So I don't call that a blessing. I call that a level of intelligence and early maturation of knowing the difference between good and bad, what is healthy, what is acceptable and not acceptable. And then I learned also as a kid how to avoid that, stay away from that. Don't get involved in that. Keep that kind of style away from you and at a distance, because those are the kinds of things that could drag down your career opportunities. Not just drugs and alcohol, but people who don't know how to behave themselves, you know, and want to drag you into bad situations. And we generalize that by calling that peer pressure and stuff. But what forms career decisions is easy. You know, what's available and can I actually do that job? And once I have the job, is my living environment and what's asked of me, can I really actually do that? And not only that, are their expectations correct? You know, should they expect that from somebody? That was the program. You know, it wasn't a situation where you could come back and say, well, you know, this is really a bit much to ask for somebody on this level, because essentially it'd just be quitting your job. And that's what I did. I quit my job and I said, you know, I got to move to the city because I do want to go to college full time, because I don't want to be stuck at a computer counting dollar bills. You know, I want to design programs that do that. And I want to work into in large management systems. But, you know, in an organization that I worked for, I could have worked up to that level, but it would have taken about 20 or 30 years in the way that the management system works, in terms of once you have this position in a small office, you almost have to wait for someone to retire or die in order to advance. So those are the things that help you make career decisions. Do I want to do this forever? Is there something more interesting? Is there more opportunity? Is this really feasible and safe and healthy? And how can I make it better in my living situation and arrangements to make it better? And not all career decisions and life decisions that are made result in you know, exactly what you planned or in success. So for me, I had to kind of navigate a system, not running from problems, but getting away from things that were trying to drag me down and people with odd expectations, into different environments where, you know, I had to actually, as a teenager, evaluate whether or not a loan was really worth, the investment, because the schooling that I took the loan out for was teaching me things that I already knew, that I learned in high school, that I did on the job. So it helped me see that the systems of education and actual work are not really aligned well. They're not really aligned well. So, you know, I was going to have to pay high dollar amounts just to be certified as a typist, as an administrative professional that knows how to file and work on law documents and other kinds of documents. And the schooling is good, you know, but schooling is not 6 months. Schooling is not 8 weeks long. That's schooling. Education is years, takes years, years and years. And it needs to be, it has to be a combination of life experience, career experience, schooling and education, as well as personal relationships. So, yeah, that's what shapes our decision making, a combination of all those things. Okay, you guys all have a wonderful day. Make good decisions. Understand and be aware of who and what influences those decisions. And always question your decisions. Don't just do it. Question it later. Think about it. But don't also focus on all the many things that could go wrong. How about all the things that are going to go right? And not just write books. I mean, go wonderfully, successfully, perfectly. And not totally like adrenaline rushes where life is always living on the edge. You know, enjoy life relaxed for a while. Take it all in. Enjoy it. Have a nice day.